The Jets face the division rival Miami Dolphins this weekend. What are the key things to watch in this game? We'll discuss today on the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Friday, October 7th, 2022, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thanking you for making the show your first listen or first watch every day. This podcast is free and it's available on all platforms, including YouTube. If you like what you see or hear, hit the subscribe button where you're watching or listening. You'll never miss an episode. If you're watching on YouTube, please give this episode a big thumbs up. It helps the channel out and it helps other Jets fans find the podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. And Sunday's game starts at 1 o'clock Eastern time. The Jets will host the AFC East rival Miami Dolphins at MetLife Stadium. Jets' first AFC East divisional game of the year. And they'll be trying to get their first win in the division since week 17 of the 2019 season. That's when the Jets went up to Buffalo, an Adam Gase-coached team, and defeated the Buffalo Bills in a really ugly game. That was a game where Buffalo had already clinched its playoff positioning, so they played their backups through most of the game. I think Buffalo had a few starters early on in the game, but they pulled them. The backups came in. It was a tight game that really should not have been as tight because Buffalo was playing its backups, but that was the last time the Jets beat an AFC East team. And they're facing a Miami team that is 3-1, but a Miami team with some key injuries, and this is a Jets team coming off a big victory. In recent years, this has been the type of game that's led to a big Jets letdown, and you know, part of it's been the Jets have just not been very talented. I think this year, clearly, you're seeing that this talent level on this Jets roster has improved. You've got an opportunity now to go over 500 at 3-2. And it's been a long time since the Jets were 3-2 after five games. In fact, the last time was 2017 when the Jets went on a three-game winning streak after starting 0-2. And even then, that was a bad Jets team. That was not a good roster. I think everybody kind of knew that at 3-2, that winning streak was kind of a mirage. This will be the first time, if the Jets win this game, it'll be the first time since 2015 that it really felt like through five games, the Jets are ready to make some noise in this league. And a lot of the focus is going to be on Zach Wilson. The second-year quarterback began his second season with a bang on Sunday, leading the Jets to a 10-point comeback victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers in a game where his play was, frankly, pretty uneven. There were some very shaky moments for Zach Wilson in that game, but we forget about them because he led the Jets to the fourth quarter comeback, and in the fourth quarter, he played probably his best quarter with the Jets. I think you could argue maybe last year, the fourth quarter against Tennessee, where he made a lot of plays, but the difference was he was making plays from inside the pocket, and he looked decisive in that fourth quarter. Now, in the first three quarters, very up and down, making his reads. In the fourth quarter, he knew where he wanted to throw the football, and he made some really great reads and some really accurate passes. This week, he's got to build on it. One of the issues last year with Zach Wilson was that when he played well, he typically followed it up with a pretty bad game. Week one last year against Carolina, he had a strong second half. He actually almost led the Jets to a comeback. Week two against New England, he goes out and throws four interceptions. A few weeks later, he leads the Jets to a victory over the Tennessee Titans. 1 week later, the Jets go out to London. You know, Zach doesn't look very good. Last year, there was a game against Philadelphia where Zach led the Jets to three first-half touchdowns, kind of struggled in the second half, goes out the next week against the Saints. Again, doesn't play very well. Late last season, played pretty solid game against Tampa Bay week 17. Jets go to Buffalo week 18. And yeah, it was a tough spot. I mean, the Jets had a patchwork offensive line. They had a patchwork group of receivers. But the same was true when Zach was having success against Tampa Bay. He did not build on it. He had a really bad finale to 2021. So when you want to succeed in this league as a quarterback, you got to stack good games. And as much as last week was encouraging, If Zach Wilson does not follow it up with a great good performance this week, then we're back to the drawing board. We're going to be in the spot next week where we'll say, well, can Zach Wilson recover? You have to build on performances like that. You know, you hope that the comeback last week gives Zach some degree of confidence that being so decisive in the fourth quarter, maybe something clicked. Maybe Zach looks at this and now is comfortable, says, I can do this now. He made plays in the fourth quarter. I think he was probably the number one reason the Jets came back on the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was that good. But now can he build on it? And the Jets, what are they going to have around him this weekend? There's been some rumblings that maybe Dwayne Brown will be back. The Jets are calling him a game-time decision. Should the Jets rush Dwayne Brown back into the lineup? Well, they've played without him so far. I mean, it would be nice to get Dwayne Brown into the lineup because, again, like I say this all the time, and I'm being genuinely serious when I say this. I have no idea when this guy had time to get injured. I'm not trying to be a wise guy right now. I'm not trying to be silly. I just really can't figure out when he was on the field where he could have gotten injured. He played like 21 preseason snaps. He missed a lot of practice time in the training camp. Like, there really was not much time for him to get injured. You wonder whether maybe the Jets signed him while he was injured. Maybe he just was not in good enough shape. It's really tough to say. Dwayne Brown getting back into this lineup could help the Jets, though, because the tackle position is really in pretty rough shape when you've got three other guys on injured reserve. Now, we know Mekhi Becton's not coming back this year. George Fant, he's probably going to be out a couple more weeks. He's on IR. Max Mitchell just got injured last week, and Max Mitchell, you know, for a fourth-round rookie, has been okay, but overall, I think, you know, there's been probably more bad than good with Max Mitchell. And, you know, Max Mitchell's difficult because you're grading him on the curve of a rookie. So for a rookie fourth-rounder who should not be playing this year, I think he's held up okay. In general, you know, he hasn't been that great. So Dwayne Brown getting back into the lineup, that's something that could help Zach Wilson out, force him to deal with less pressure, because last weekend he was under pressure an awful lot. And I think he did a good job evading pressure. There were not a lot of plays that he made under pressure, though. And I don't know that that's really Zach's fault. Again, you know, the Jets were kind of crumbling on the offensive line prior to the fourth quarter of that game. So you want to give Zach a cleaner pocket. Now, what are you going to get out of Dwayne Brown? That's another question. This is an older player. Again, he did not really have a full preparation period for this season. He was signed during training camp, during the preseason. So he's still kind of getting used to things. Another area of concern in Miami defense that likes to blitz from all angles. They like to bring guys from the secondary to pressure the quarterback. Does he have how much chemistry does he have with Laken Tomlinson, who he'd be playing next to? That's another question. And of course, if Dwayne Brown can't go, we will likely be looking at Elijah Vera Tucker playing the left tackle position for a second straight week. And even then, you got, as well as Elijah Vera Tucker played last week, can he continue that level of play? I think most people, when the Jets drafted him out of USC, viewed him as a longer-term guard. Maybe a guy who could go out and help you out and tackle in a pinch, but a guy whose home really is on the interior of the offensive line. And while he did play next to Laken Tomlinson last week, chemistry takes longer to build on the offensive line than 1 week. And when you're looking at, a Miami team that's going to blitz from a lot of different angles, it's going to require everybody to be on the same page. It's something that concerns me in this game. And, you know, it may come down to whether Zach Wilson can not only evade pressure, but also keep his eyes down the field. Maybe the Jets can hit a big play or two outside the play call structure. If there's a, you know, some sort of pressure on a blitz that leaves one-on-one matchups in the back of the defense, maybe Garrett Wilson gets loose breaking a route. Maybe Elijah Moore gets loose breaking a route. Maybe that's the type of thing that can make a difference for the Jets. You want to see explosive plays. However, on the other side of the ball, the Dolphins have a couple big play receivers, guys who are capable of making explosive plays. The Jets will need to keep them in check, and we'll discuss how they'll do that as we continue this Friday game preview episode of Locked On Jets. Of course, it would not hurt the Jets if they were able to get a couple turnovers, steal the football from Miami. When you're at home, though, you want to avoid theft. When it comes to burglars, your home is like the end zone, and you want the absolute strongest defense you can muster. That's where SimpliSafe Home Security comes in. At SimpliSafe, your security is the only thing that matters. It's cutting-edge technology powered 24/7 by professional monitoring agents who always have your back, so you know that your home is always safe. With 24/7 professional monitoring, SimpliSafe's agents call you the moment a threat is detected and dispatch police or first responders in an emergency. Even if you're not home or can't be reached, SimpliSafe blankets your home in protection with advanced sensors in every room, window, and door. HD security cameras for inside and outside your home, smarter ways to detect motion that only alert you when a threat is real, and even hazard sensors that instantly detect fires, floods, and other threats to your home. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplisafe.com/lockedonNFL. Save 20% on your SimpliSafe security system when you sign up for an interactive monitoring plan and get your first month free. Visit simplisafe.com/lockedonNFL to learn more. That's simplisafe.com, SimpliSafe.com/lockedonNFL. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Thank you for making Locked On Jets your first listen every day. And make Locked On NFL Key Predictions your second listen every Friday. Locked On's local experts give you the inside scoop on the five biggest games of the NFL weekend, including Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. Plus, there's betting advice from the field's leading experts, Bet Online. Follow NFL Key Predictions every Friday at Locked On NFL, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. And today on Locked On Jets, we are talking about Week 5 action. The New York Jets, the Miami Dolphins, Sunday at MetLife Stadium. The Dolphins have a lot of speed on the offensive side of the ball. They've got Jalen Waddle. They traded for Tyreek Hill over the course of the offseason. As you may remember, there's a lot of explosive play capability. But they enter this game a little bit hindered in their ability to make explosive plays. First of all, they're going to be playing with Teddy Bridgewater instead of Tua Tagovailoa. Teddy Bridgewater, of course, famously, very briefly, a former Jet, a guy the Jets signed in the 2018 offseason. He was coming off the serious injury in Minnesota, which really limited him. He signed with the Jets at a point where the Jets really did not have a clear quarterback position. Then the Jets drafted Sam Darnold third overall, and Darnold ended up winning the starting job in 2018. And before the beginning of the season, the Jets actually traded Teddy to the New Orleans Saints for a third-round pick. Not a pick that the Jets did anything with. The pick ended up being Chuma Edoga. But Teddy Bridgewater was very briefly a member of the New York Jets. Now he's starting against the New York Jets. Last year, you may remember that Teddy was the quarterback of the Denver Broncos, and he played a great game against the Jets. It was week three. Jets went out to Denver, and they were shut out by the Broncos on the defensive side of the ball. But Teddy played very efficient football against the Jets last year. But we know what Teddy is, and it's an interesting dynamic replacing Teddy Bridgewater with Tua Tagovailoa. Yesterday, we did our crossover show with Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked On Dolphins, and he mentioned it. Yeah, Teddy's a different style of quarterback. You know, Tua likes to be in the shotgun. He likes reading the run-pass options. He likes, you know, sticking the ball out at the mesh point, making the decision, you know, either handing it off or throwing it behind the guy who's charged up on the run-pass options. Teddy's a little bit of a different quarterback. We also know that Teddy takes care of the football. I think it's less likely the Jets are going to be able to turn the ball over with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback. You know, last week, the Jets were very opportunistic, four interceptions, and really a fifth that was wiped out on a penalty that had nothing to do with the interception. They were playing against Mitchell Trubisky, who's very mistake-prone. They were playing against Kenny Pickett, who was seeing his first real NFL action. It's going to be more difficult this weekend, and those turnovers helped the Jets win the game last weekend. You know, especially there was one key sequence with Michael Carter, the second intercepted a pass with the Jets trailing by three midway to late through the fourth quarter. That ended up being a key point in the game. And the Jets, I said that in last week's game previews, that the Jets had to take advantage of the opportunities that were there when they had a chance to turn the ball over. It's going to be a little bit trickier this weekend with Teddy, a guy who knows how to take care of the football. However, Teddy, you know, despite some moments in his career where he's been able to hit the big pass, he's not really known as a big play quarterback. You know, he's not really known as a great deep ball thrower. And, you know, will he be able to take advantage of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle's speed? Well, of course, Hill and Waddle are not only deep threats. They're guys who can take it the distance on a screen. You know, you can just throw them the ball short and they can outrun the defense. However, both of them might be playing hurt. They're both on the injury report this weekend. Tyreek Hill is a new development. Tyreek Hill just ended up on the injury report yesterday. It seems like he suffered a new injury. So the Jets might be getting Miami at a good spot. They might be getting Miami at a good point because There's lots of playmaking capability on this offense, but you're running into a couple of issues. First of all, Tua Tagovailoa, we don't know how good he's going to be, but presumably he's better than Teddy Bridgewater at this point. You would think that, you always think that the starter is better than the backup. So the Dolphins are kind of taking a step back at the quarterback position. Now, they've done very well. I think Teddy's, you know, one of the top backups in the NFL. He's, you know, he's a guy that you actually can win games with, and there are not a lot of teams that should have much confidence in their backup quarterbacks. Teddy Bridgewater in Miami, they're one of the situations where I think the backup is pretty solid. But you also have these receivers who are a little bit compromised. And beyond that, you know, there's the chemistry issue. And you could see it even with Zach Wilson last week, where Zach Wilson did not quite have all the trust in the world in Garrett Wilson. And that's to be expected, because Zach missed all that time in preseason and training camp. And in camp, Garrett Wilson was getting a lot of work with the second team receivers. When the chips were down, and I wrote an article about this yesterday on gangrenenation.com, when the chips were down in that game, Zach had a lot of trust in Corey Davis, guy he's been with for over a year, guy who's become his most trusted target. And I think in time, Zach will develop more confidence in Garrett Wilson to be in the right spot, because Garrett Wilson is always in the right spot and he's always open. But it takes time. And you look at the situation with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Teddy Bridgewater, and then we'll assume both of them play. It could take time for them to develop the chemistry that they need to develop. So, real opportunity for the Jets here. Now, the one concern, and I mentioned this yesterday, you know, despite having DJ Reed, despite having Sauce Gardner, I think the Jets are going to try and limit the big plays, and that means you're going to see Jets play a lot of zone anyway. I think you may see more zone than usual, and I know you may say, well, what's the point of having these corners? Well, you want to be able to shut down Miami on the outside, and they will play man-to-man at points, but I think you want to prevent the big play, and I think that means you'll see a lot of conservative calls on defense for the Jets, and, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but that's my read on the situation. You worry a little bit because Kyle mentioned this yesterday, middle of the field, you get these guys on crossing routes, you end up with one of these receivers on C.J. Mosley. It could be rough. Despite the strong performance last weekend by the safeties, I don't love these, LaMarcus Joyner, Jordan Whitehead, they're going to need more than one great game against Pittsburgh to really earn my trust. So lots to figure out there. But I think that there's real opportunity here for the Jets, because this is not a Miami offense that's playing at full strength. And there's every opportunity for the Jets to win the game. And ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we will close out this game preview. I'll talk about expectations for this weekend. Should we expect the Jets to beat Miami at home? I'll tell you what I think as we continue this Friday game preview. The Jets are home underdogs this weekend, even with Miami playing their backup quarterback. So if you want to make some money, you believe the Jets are going to win, betonline.net is your number one source for not just this game, but for football betting everywhere all season. You can find all of the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles, along with analysis on every game. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events. Yes, it's football, but also baseball, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. This is the Locked On Jets podcast here on this Friday. Jets Dolphins week 5 action. Jets trying to get the 3-2, a chance to go over 500 more than 1 month into the season. It's a great opportunity for the Jets. The Jets are home underdogs this week, even with Miami playing Teddy Bridgewater. To me, this game's there for the taking, though. I told you about why. You know, Miami's banged up, and, you know, on the other side of the ball, we talked about the Miami offense. Miami defense, it looks like they're going to be without Xavien Howard again. You know, he hasn't practiced at this point all this week, and you would think they'd want to get him a couple days of practice before he steps into the lineup. So a Jets receiving core, which has played pretty well this season, is not going to be facing a Miami secondary that's at full strength. You know, through the years, it's very easy to get down on the Jets because you've seen losing year after year. It's easy to think, well, the Jets can't win this game. It's easy to think, as I mentioned earlier, that this big win has typically been followed up by a disappointing loss, by a letdown. But this is the first time in years it's felt like the Jets could have some confidence playing against a quality opponent that they might be able to win the game. And again, Miami's a little shorthanded, but in the past, it really hasn't mattered. It's not that the Jets have not beaten quality opponents in recent years, but it's always been a shock. It's always been an upset. And frequently it's been because the other team did not take the game seriously. I mean, you look at the last couple of years for the Jets. I mean, how many quality opponents did they beat? Almost every single one of them, the team had a letdown. And there were a number of these games where the Jets jumped out to a big lead. They kind of took the other team by surprise. And then the other team started playing in the second half and almost came back. I mean, there was a game against Dallas 3 years ago, the game the Jets beat the Rams 2 years ago, their first win of that season, where they jumped out, you know, they kind of jumped all over these teams, and the other team really did not have a response. That's happened in Cincinnati last year, and the Jets came back in the fourth quarter of that game, but the Jets kind of jumped out to an early lead in that one. Jets have surprised teams. And they, you know, in the NFL, there's an old saying, any given Sunday, and there's another old saying that the difference in talent level between NFL teams is not that great, and it's true. Now, the team that's more talented is going to win more frequently, but a team that's more talented that does not play its best football, that doesn't take the game seriously, they will lose even if they're playing the worst team in the NFL. And that's what's happened through the years for the Jets. But things are a little bit different this year. This is a Jets team with actual talent. You can see that the talent level's improved, and you see the way the rookies are playing, whether it's Garrett Wilson looking like a number one receiver. Now, you know, he may lose his number one receiver designation if he doesn't have a big week this weekend, but Garrett Wilson looks like an impact player. Sauce Gardner looking like a guy who, again, we'll see what happens this weekend. This is a bit of a test, even if Miami's receivers are injured. But Sauce Gardner, a guy who looks like he's got the makings of a shutdown corner for this team for a long time to come. Breece Hall starting to come along. Jermaine Johnson's making plays. Michael Clemens looking, you know, pretty decent for a fourth-round rookie. And then you have the 2021 draft class. You have Elijah Vera Tucker coming along. You've got Elijah Moore, who, you know, maybe not meeting the highest of expectations people had for him, but still looking like a quality receiver. And, of course, Zach Wilson, whose growth is as important, more important than anybody else I'm mentioning on this show. There's legitimate talent here for the Jets. This team actually can beat a quality opponent at home, but that also means you got to do it. You know, we talk about progress, and for years I've talked about how things are not always based on wins and losses for this team, especially when you're at the beginning of a rebuild. We're not at the beginning of a rebuild anymore. You got to start winning games. The most important aspect of a rebuild is the build part. And that means that eventually wins and losses do matter. Now, the Jets, you have a divisional opponent. You have a big game here. An opponent that's banged up. An opponent playing its backup quarterback. This is the type of situation. If you want to make that step, you want to be a team that's respected in this league, you got to take care of your business on your home field against a division rival, especially when that division rival's kind of licking its wounds. So I think this is a big game for the Jets. I think this is the type of game that, if the Jets are really a team on the rise, if the Jets want to be, you know, the Jets have used the phrase meaningful September football, meaningful December football, this is the type of game you got to win. Everything's in front of it for the Jets. It's not easy, but guess what? Winning in this league is not easy. That's one of the things that separates the teams on the rise from the teams that aren't. So got to see a win for the Jets this weekend. Anyway, that's all for today's episode. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day is our motto. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe to it. You'll never miss an episode. If you're listening on a podcast source, please a 5-star review. If you're watching on YouTube, a big thumbs up. These things help the channel, and they help other Jets fans find the podcast. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the game, and we'll be back after to talk about it.